Ghost Beast!
Ghost Beast.
Ghost Beast!
A horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
We're just discussing how we could put traffic cones in the road to keep all these fucking cars from driving by, because I know people hear them all the time in this. We watched Tales from the Hood from 1995. This is directed by Rusty Condief.
Is that what it was? Shit. I think it was
Condief. I don't know.
This is directed by Rusty Condief. And before we begin, I guess we should say we watched this because we wanted to cover something for Black History Month. Mm-hmm. I was kind of trying to look up movies that we could cover, and I saw people mention Tales from the Hood, and it just felt like a good excuse to revisit this because I grew up with this movie. I know you hadn't seen it. Mm-mm. It was one of those movies your parents would watch, which immediately made you think, I don't want to watch this, which I understand because my dad listened to a lot of music that I just was like, he listens to this, so I don't give a fuck about this. And the thing about it is like, look, it can be tricky when you are stepping into a subject like this, because I don't want to act like I'm going to be able to give the expert analysis on Black history and all this stuff. That's not what we're about. And I'm just like, I'm not going to try and act like I'm that guy when I'm not. Mm-hmm. I mean, we both grew up in Baltimore County, which means we're at least adjacent to some of these issues because we are near Baltimore City. So we saw this stuff, at least in the news and everything. And I actually consider myself fortunate that I was made aware of these things from a very young age, because there are definitely other places in the country that if you grew up there, you would be so sheltered from all of this, which maybe is part of why we have a lot of the problems we have in this country. But not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about cool horror movies. And
I do want to say, in light of you saying we just want to watch cool horror movies, I think it's worth saying that, like, horror is, like, at its heart, political.
Of course.
So.
It's also timely to say that now after some things that have been happening on social media, which we won't get into.
We could.
Maybe not. I don't feel like opening that can of worms. And, I mean, I do think, like, I want to make it very clear. I think it is important to talk about this stuff. And it is one of the strengths of horror, is horror. From the dawn of time, it's been about social commentary. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the big strengths is that you can tell these stories that are so outrageous, but they're so rooted in real problems. And it becomes like this very effective way to communicate this stuff. And Tales from the Hood is a great example of this because it is very much a movie. I mean, it was produced by Spike Lee. You know, it's a movie that is full of Black voices. During a time in 95 when, like, there weren't a lot of horror movies made by Black creators. You know, we had a lot of, like, Wes Craven, you know, did a lot of the stuff with, like, People Under the Stairs. There's Candyman and stuff. But there is, like, look, I'm really not the guy to say this, but from my perspective, it does feel like, with those movies, there is something about the way some of these things are depicted. It's like it's a very Hollywood kind of way, and it feels like it's done kind of from a white perspective. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you get a very different experience when you have a Black director and more people behind the scenes, you know, who have lived this experience. And you can see that in Tales from the Hood because, I mean, each of these stories is an anthology horror film. Each one is covering, like, serious fears and issues in the Black community from a Black perspective. And that, combined with the fact that it's just a fucking ridiculous movie, like, it just makes it hit on so many levels. Like, this really is a classic that is very beloved. And I'm glad that you got to see it now because, I mean, my friends and I, we watched this all the time growing up on, like, HBO, which, yes, very fucked up because 95, I was a teenager, you know, like, I was very young. Was I a teenager?
There's no way you were a teenager.
I was not a teenager. No. I can't. I was like 11. Not quite. I mean, this was how it was back then. I grew up on like the Alien movies. Friday the 13th, I saw when I was like 4 years old. Like, that just checks. And there was always something about this one that it's scary, but it's scary on such a like deep level because it's so rooted in these societal issues. And like, even as a child, like, I could feel that. Like, there was something extra scary about these stories. I mean, each one has like such a specific theme. Like, it covers police brutality, domestic violence, racism and slavery, gang violence. Like, you know, each one taps into one of these things, but then it presents it in this like really supernatural horror way that's like super over the top. And I think it's like, it is so effective. Mm. It's so effective. And just even the acting and everything feels much more authentic. I mean, I haven't seen this since I was very young. I was surprised by how much it hit still. Like, as soon as the movie started, it looked super modern. Like, did you notice that?
Yeah. Well, I think that has to do with the like super impressive set design and art direction. I think when you have really great art direction, it can lend to making something look timeless. Like, totally. That.
I mean, but also just the way that the film looked.
Oh, yeah.
Like, at first I was like, are we watching the right movie? Because I mean, it's from 95.
It could be restored, maybe.
I was thinking maybe they did something like that because, it still looked just really good, mm-hmm. like really clear. But I mean, you know, this was your first time seeing it. Like, how did this hit for you?
I was like instantly pulled in because the second the film opens,
We're not talking spoilers.
Okay. I always get thrown off.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a spoiler to say that the second that the movie started, I was totally hooked because it looked like I was about to step into a storybook, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels very like, I mean, this was really, I mean, it's called Tales from the Hood.
Yeah.
It was heavily inspired by like Tales from the Crypt. And like, so it has that kind of campiness in it. Did you just put that together?
No, I was agreeing with you, like most definitely, because I mean, the narrator himself is very like Tales from the Crypt, like.
Yeah, yeah. Clarence Williams, his performance during like the wraparound segments mm-hmm. is like, it's so perfectly campy.
Yeah.
And I love it because the whole setup for the movie, for those who haven't seen it, is that you have these three like gang members who show up at a funeral home in the middle of the night because I guess the funeral director says he found drugs somewhere and wants to sell it to them. And he brings them in. And I mean, he is so fucking over the top. He is totally like a Crypt Keeper character while they're like much more grounded and realistic coming in here. And he like kind of shows them around and he walks up to all these different bodies in the caskets and tells them a story about how they wound up here. And that's the thing that like leads into all the anthology stories. But you can see, right away what the tone is like, because it's so much fun.
Yeah.
Like as soon as it started, I was just like, man, I forgot how fun this movie is. Which is funny to say, because it does get extremely dark and upsetting, but that's part of what makes it just such a great movie is the way it like tackles all those different tones and puts it together into this package.
Yeah, I think like Jordan Peele is obviously had to be inspired.
Oh yeah,
like,
I mean, this is absolute classic.
I was thinking of Jordan Peele in the same way that he approaches his movies. There's like very strong art direction. There's very like amazing comedy inside of it, but it's all like has this very serious core to it.
And that's absolutely true. Because, the movie, it can be very funny one minute, and then the next minute, it's just fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Like, it really tackles these, like, serious societal issues and is, like, very poignant about it.
Yeah.
While also having, like, zombies and, you know, like, living dolls and all this kind of stuff that just takes it to this other, like, supernatural level. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I do think is like very important about this is that without like spoiling anything, I do think it's worth pointing out that all of these stories have like some kind of cathartic ending. I think that was something that was also really important. And it's another one of those things that I'm not equipped to go in super depth with. But I'll say for anyone who's seen Get Out, which I think most people have at this point, there is this catharsis to where that movie goes that does feel like this is how a black creator would end the story. you know, because a lot of them, there's ways to just be like, yeah, look how fucked up and awful this is, and just leave it at that. Mm. That just isn't inspiring any kind of hope or optimism, you know, for it. It's kind of like kicking someone when they're down, you know,
yeah.
And instead showing this like cathartic resolution.
No,
it just manages to get the message across and be super horrifying while not leaving you feeling like complete shit. You know what I mean? And I think that's important.
I think you see that, and I saw the TV glow too. Like,
yeah, totally.
There's this very devastating aspect to it, but that also lends like hope outside of the film.
Yeah, I think that is something that's super important that I think some people miss.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the reasons why I'm not a fan of movies that are just like super dark and bleak and then just end it on that note. Cause it's just like, all right, that was great. Like had a good time with that, you know, like, yeah, really, really holds up. All the performances are great. The music, like there's all this piano music that they use. It's like very simple that just fits the tone so perfectly. Yeah. I think I was really surprised how much this held up.
Yeah. This is very good.
Because I remember it being, like, just crazy, and it scared the shit out of me. Like, I'll just say the one with the fucking dolls, we'll get to it. But, like, that one scared the absolute shit out of me when I was a kid. But watching it now, it's clear that, like, the message is so strong and so clear that I think it just makes it timeless, for better or worse.
Yeah.
But is there anything else you got?
No.
Let's get the spoilers then. So why don't we just like quickly go through each of the stories? There's only four of them in this. And with the wraparound, I do think like it's interesting because like immediately you can tell what they're doing, you know, with like each of the bodies and then the story. It's like right away like, oh, yeah, yeah. That's like a really simple way to string this all together.
Yeah.
And it often means that like he'll come to a body and you'll see the reaction where they're like, oh, and then they don't show the body because it's just like that would kind of spoil, I guess, what happens. So the first story is like a great example of what this movie is doing so well, because if you really take like a macro look at this, it's like it's a story about a man who is unjustly killed and then comes back as the supernatural zombie and gets revenge on the people who killed him. But the rapper has to do with police brutality, with it being police officers who kill him. And he's like a black community leader who I guess just wasn't cooperating with them and in their eyes, like causing trouble or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's cool because, yeah, it's again, this is like one of the things it does really well is that it opens in a way that's like really shocking and upsetting. And then it builds up to them going to visit his grave and he pops out and then you're like, okay, that's what this is. And it kind of relieves the tension a bit. Like, cause I know you were like kind of, as soon as it started, you were kind of stressed out.
Like,
how are you feeling when they went to the graveyard?
Once it really like starts to flip, I think the art direction, honestly, gave me this, it was like telling the story for me in a way where it's like, there's going to be this like supernatural element to this. So let's see what's going to happen here. And I think I was getting stressed out because, you know, I don't want to watch someone get beaten by the police. Like it's,
yeah,
you know, but it's important to see, obviously.
That's the other thing is the movie, like it doesn't really shy away from anything. Like when it's showing like these horrible things, it's really focusing in on it and it stays on it for a long time. You know, it doesn't cut away. And that's especially true in the last segment.
Yeah.
But it's like I said, it's the catharsis that it leads up to. Because when he comes out of the ground and he's going, it's like, it's so ridiculous because on one hand, like, yeah, he's a fucking scary ass zombie. But it's the way like his eyes look and the acting, and it's like very over the top. And he has like these weird powers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like kind of silly, but that makes it more fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's like, it's a fun way to kick it off. And just showing you that like, it kind of sets up it like, yeah, these are where these stories are going. Like the bad guys are going to get their due.
Mm-hmm.
And every single one, pretty much it's like that. The last one gets trickier.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the next one, I mean, is clearly it's all about domestic violence. It's a kid going to school with like these marks all over him. And the interesting thing there with that one is that, you know, it does something that feels like very obvious, even though it is still like really effective and powerful, that he's drawing this monster, as like this monster is attacking him at night. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that it's a stepdad. And even like when he comes in the room and you hear like the monster noises and his voice is all contorted and it's gradually goes back to just his normal voice. And it's mm-hmm. clear, like, no, he's not an actual monster. He is just a man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They really visualize that in like the most perfect way.
Yeah.
Like the way that the shadow would lead up in this like very like grotesque monster shadow, yeah. and then the stepdad comes forward. And I think just the way it's put together was like so effective. Like mm-hmm. I'd really like to see what the visual effects were for yeah. that. There had to be, I know there's a lot of really good practical effects, which I haven't really been able to touch on yet, but it's like yeah. expertly done special effects.
But it's the way they do that. And so it makes it feel like, oh, no, this isn't like a supernatural story. This is just a very sad, grounded, tragic story. But they bring in the element where this kid, for whatever fucking reason, whatever he draws on the paper, if he like twists it or you know, yeah. messes with the drawing, it actually hurts the person. Like, didn't he do that to like his bully at school?
Yeah.
At first?
Well, I think it was an accident.
Yeah,
was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Accident, quote unquote.
Either way.
Yeah. But that was like a perfect way to set up the ending, both because it means that the kid is the one who's able to get his revenge, mm-hmm. but also it's like that final shot of basically he's twisted into like a fucking puddle on the ground.
Yeah.
You remember?
Yes.
That's
crazy.
Like, it's so extreme and just so weird.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's like, it's something that's really horrifying, but it's depicted in like almost a cartoonish kind of way.
Yeah. But it's still yeah. super dark because then he's yeah. like, yeah, now you're going to set it on fire.
Yeah, it was cool. I think I do remember this kind of freaking me out when I was a kid, like, because I was definitely way too young watching yeah. this. And I think when you first start seeing like his arms bending back and shit, I remember that just making me uncomfortable.
This had like several layers of very good commentary in it.
Yeah.
Which I think was really cool to see because it shows how important teachers are. And
yeah.
it shows how important art is, especially for children.
Yep.
And, you know, obviously how domestic violence, you know, affects women, in particular Black women and yeah. children when they're, you know, kind of like a symptom of what mm-hmm. happened.
Like the most vulnerable people.
Yeah. yeah.
But yeah, then we get to the one with the fucking dolls. I don't know what it was when I was a kid. Anytime you had a movie with creepy dolls or just creepy little shit, you know, like
creepy little shit.
Yes, because what's a fucking movie? Pet Sematary. When the little kid comes back and is like cutting their ankles, the little fucking knife. That shit fucked me up. It was any kind of like little stuff. And
no,
there were so
fair.
Many because there was like Puppet Master and Ghoulies and all this shit. So these little fucking dolls, I was just like, oh, hell no. Like, I don't like this. This one is like the most obvious, like cathartic story, though, because it's like a fucking dude living in a plantation house who is being tortured by these tiny little slave dolls the whole time. I did think it was funny watching it now that the main white dude who lives there, I mean, he's just Donald Trump. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, my God,
like, that
yeah.
shit was crazy.
That, like, blew my mind, especially since this is the first time I ever seen it. I was like, that guy, did Donald Trump see this guy and was like, that's,
yeah.
I'm going to do this.
It's like, did this actually come out in 95 or did it
yeah.
come out, like, this year? Because he looks like him. He
yeah.
talks like him. He has, like, these political messages because I think he's trying to be, like, the governor or something.
I guess so.
But he has these political messages that are like very racist, very like anti-immigration.
He lives in a plantation.
Well, yes. But it's just like, goddamn, that was 30 fucking years ago. And I guess we haven't changed that much, huh,
no.
in that time. That sucks.
Yeah.
But it is great that like, yeah, the whole movie or the whole short is just him like getting tormented by these little fuckers. And then yeah, that scene at the end, they do such a good job of showing like that painting.
Oh my God, yeah.
And one thing, like, you know how sometimes you watch stuff from when you're a kid and there are scenes that like unlock something?
Yes.
Where it's like, oh shit, this really like traumatized me as a
yeah.
kid. When he hits the painting of the woman and the painting bleeds,
oh, yeah.
for some fucking reason that fucked me up
oh.
when I was younger. I don't know why that like really freaked me out.
That was really cool though. It was very
yeah.
effective.
But yeah, in the way that like anytime one of the dolls comes out of the painting, it's like that white outline. Mm-hmm. So the part at the end when you just see like all of the dolls are the white outline, it's like, it's so effective.
Yeah.
And even though it's kind of silly with all the little claymation, it's still just, this is some cool, fun stuff.
This whole film does a really good job of showing it, like art as a weapon.
That's true.
I think that's just so awesome to see like each character basically encounters some sort of like artistic element, and that is like the weapon against. Mm-hmm. And I think that's such a strong message because it's true.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely, it's funny because like, you know, you can see it that like as a kid, that was the scariest one for me because it's just like fucking little demon dolls attacking someone.
That tracks, I guess. I mean, you were scared of sock monkeys.
Okay.
So
I'm saying not just me, like in general, if you're a kid, that's going to be the scariest thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sorry.
You're not on the same page as me. We don't have to. I can't believe you shared that.
Got it.
You know what's funny? I remember, I don't know why I was scared of sock monkeys, but I remember when I was like much older, my sister brought over a sock as a joke to be like, haha, remember this? And it gave me like a jump scare. Like I was an adult and it made me like jump when I saw it. I don't know why that was so ingrained in me. They still make me uncomfortable.
What's funny is I remember, this is getting so off track. I remember a customer had knitted a sock monkey cup cover for me. And I was like, oh my God, this is so cute. It's such a nice gift. I brought it home and you open up the drawer and you're like, what is that? I was like, what are you talking about?
I don't know where that came from.
I couldn't use it because you hated it so much.
Those creepy little fuckers. But what I was saying is, as an adult, the final segment is definitely the most terrifying. And it's funny to see that because I think that's the one that I remembered the least. And I don't know, like, I was going to say, I don't know if they, like, edited it for the HBO one because it seems extreme.
I mean, if it was on TV, it might have been cut out.
I wonder, like, if any of it was edited for HBO or if it just, like, didn't affect, because I think when you're a child, you're always scared of like different shit. You know, I'm more scared of a tiny little doll running around, like the most unrealistic thing, than actual horrible historical things that have happened. You know, because the last one, which maybe is, well, you know, it's funny. I was going to say maybe it's like the least cathartic, but it's the way that it ties into the wraparound segments. Like there is that catharsis still, because this is the one that brings it all together. It's a great way to end it. Because it's this guy who is like it really goes into the problem of like black on black violence. Mm-hmm. So he kills someone and gets incarcerated. And the whole thing is supposed to be that they send them for this like insane rehabilitation. It's very like Clockwork Orange type shit by showing him an alarming number of real historical pictures of like lynchings and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that was... that was kind of crazy watching now because it goes on for so long.
Yeah.
But it does feel like the director was like, you're going to fucking see this. Like you were kind of in the same position as the character.
Yeah.
Like sitting there being forced to look at all this. It's very effective.
It is.
And very horrifying. And like it did feel like one of those things where it's like, wow, like they really went for it. Because I don't know if movies nowadays would go for it in that way. Can you imagine?
No, but at the same time, I mean, in horror, I feel like it's easy to say, like, well, you watch horror movies, you watch people die all the time or whatever. But
yeah, it's very different.
Horror is like, I don't know, it's like art and it's expressing, overcoming something in a way. And it's not really about watching random people die.
Yeah.
It's about taking in whatever the message is. I guess. That sounds really preachy.
No, because I understand, because for me, it's like, it's the difference between watching Art the Clown rip the shit out of someone, like cut him in half with the chainsaw. And it's like, yeah, that's just crazy. But then when you see actual violence, you know, actual pictures and video, it hits on a way deeper level that's not fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's very different. Like there's definitely a line. And I think they are tapping into that deliberately because maybe it's something that is important for people to see and remember. And that also feels very timely, unfortunately.
I do want to comment on that story in particular, and this just goes down a whole other path, but the costume design was like so like Fifth Element, like
when he's in the rehab center.
Yeah,
it's like you're like, are all the nurses like BDSM girls, like the way they're all dressed and
everything?
They're
all in like little leather skirts and stuff, and and the way that that set was made, it was like so futuristically dystopian.
Yeah,
it was very, very, very cool set design.
Very cool style to all of it.
Yeah,
and of course that all winds up being just kind of like what's flashing before his eyes, I guess, when he's dying. Mm. And that winds up being the reveal, is that there were these three people who were standing over him and killed him, and those are the same people at the funeral home. So yeah, the big reveal that ties everything together is that these three died in a shootout with the police, and they are in hell. Yeah. And so everything you've been seeing is like leading up to the big reveal where everything like falls away, and it's literally just like fire and brimstone. Yeah. And the funeral director is just like Satan.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a really fun, really effective way to end it. Mm-hmm. That just really kind of sums up the tone of this whole thing, that it can be like very silly and really lean into the absurd like horror stuff while having like a very real message in there, which I think that's like what any piece of good horror is really chasing, like even to this day. Mm-hmm. And this one, even though it can feel a little heavy-handed, I don't say that in a bad way.
Yeah,
you know, it knows exactly what it's doing, and it's really effective at it. Just crazy how much it holds up.
Yeah, it's unfortunate how much of it is still relevant.
That's crazy too. Yeah, because you have to, again, because it looks so good and so clear, it looks like it could have come out like last year. And when you remember this 30 years ago, and all of these problems still feel very familiar, like that is definitely, there's something to that.
Yeah.
Rana, was there anything else you wanted to talk about?
I don't think so. I had a really good time watching it, and I think it has a very important and strong message, and it's a perfect movie to see for this month, I think.
Definitely something that, if you haven't seen it at this point, because maybe you didn't grow up with it the way that I did, It really does hold up. It's really, it's worth watching. So you can go to ghostbeast.com for all our links. You can also search for Ghost Beast Pod, and you can follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd, where we rank everything we cover. Got a spot. How about Below Society and Above Civil War?
Yeah.
That puts it at number 26 on our list. You can follow us. And you can contact us at podcastghostbeats.com and check us out on TikTok, where we have little bite-sized versions.
And video, if people are looking for video, I guess.
Yeah.
No, don't cut that out. Don't look at me.
So if anyone has seen Tales from the Hood 2 or 3, I've heard that they are very bad. Are any of the shorts worth watching in those? I'd like to know.